Turn in your Bibles this morning into Joshua chapter number 24. Joshua chapter number 24. And it is good to be in God. It's good just to have a regular old Sunday morning worship service and not have to worry about anything else. Amen. It's good to be in God's house and glad to see each one that's here. And some of them have come back that have been in the sunny weather, and I told them that we had saved a little bit of snow for them. Amen. We didn't want them to miss out on anything. And I'm glad that they got to share it and experience it. And it's good to have Brother Curtis and Sister Peggy back and back with the safe. And we're just thankful for that. Been praying for them while they're away. And just ask you to continue praying for Brother L. Several people have asked when he's coming back when it warms up. He likes to text me and tell me how he's getting ready to go get in the swimming pool while I'm shoveling snow. He'll be thinking about me and aggravate me. But just continue to pray for him and Sister Joyce while they're away. And just pray that God just gets him back to a safe. And pray for the folks that are sick. Bugs are still going around. I know some of my family's still sick. So just pray for one another. Just encourage one another. Just help one another. And just try to be a blessing to one another. Amen. And even though you might not be able to be right there with them, you just pray God's hand can reach and touch wherever they might be. If you found Joshua chapter number 24, we'd invite you this morning to stand with us as we reverence and honor the reading of God's Word. I'm going to read two very familiar passages of Scripture to you this morning in verses 14 and 15. The Bible says, "Now, therefore, fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Amen. Amen. Brother Woody, would you take us this morning to the throne of grace? Amen, amen. You may be seated. I want to preach to you this morning on this thought, "As for me." You know, I can't answer for you, but I can answer for me. Amen. I can answer "as for me." I can't make a decision and I can't make you do anything in your life. I can't make my wife do things. Amen. Her life is hers to choose to make the decisions that she wants to do. I can't make my children do things when they get to a certain point in a certain place, but they can choose to do as they want. As long as they're in my house, I can make them come to church. I can make them say grace before they eat. I can make them act in a certain way, but I cannot make the choice for them to do this on their own. It's a choice they need to make for themselves. And as Joshua is coming to the end of his life, as Joshua has almost completely seen the conquest of the whole land as God has instructed him, he's got most of the land subdued, but they haven't driven out all of the people that were before them. They've got most of the cities under their control, but they haven't driven out all of the thorns that were going to be in their flesh. They've accomplished most everything that God has told him that needed to be done. And God had told him to divide out the land, and the land had been divided to the different tribes by lot, but yet not all of the tribes have possessed all that God had told them that they were to possess. They've done much, and God told Joshua here a few chapters back. He says, "Look, you're old and stricken in years, but there's still much work to be done." Friend, I want you to know there's always something that needs to be done. Amen. There's always a little more work that needs to be accomplished for the cause and the kingdom of Christ. But now Joshua, he is nearing the end of his days, and he calls all of Israel together. He calls them that he might remind them of the God that they serve, the God that's been so good to them, the God that has blessed them in so many ways. And he's not only called them to remind him of God's blessing, but he's called them to encourage them to continue to follow, to continue to serve this God, to continue to surrender themselves to this one who has been so good to them. There are no doubt some problems still being dealt with, and I understand the issues that are going on. Do you remember when the tribes that were on the east side of Jordan asked for the land there, and they said that we would go in and we would fight with you and we'll help you to conquer the rest of the land, when that's all done, we'll come back here, we'll take our possession over here. And God allowed it, and Moses allowed it, and they went and they fought, and they helped them in their conquest. I think it was 5 years that they battled the major battles, and the battles raged on for many years after, but for 5 years the major battles raged on, and finally they looked and said, you've done what you said you was going to do. You came and fought with your brethren. You came and did your duty. Now you can go home. And on their way home, they stopped and they erected an altar before they crossed back over Jordan, before they went back on to the east side, where the two tribes and the half tribe of Manasseh a worm. And the word got out. The word came back to the other tribes that these that were on that side of Jordan have erected them an altar. And it's not the altar that God had erected. It's not the altar that God had said. They had erected them an altar. And surely they intend to go against our God and to do things their own way and in their own mind. And the other tribes raised up an army, and they sent the priests and they sent the leaders of the congregation among them to go and confront Gad and Reuben and the half-tribe of Manasseh for their intent and their purpose on erecting this altar. And they come to find out that they had just erected that altar as a memorial, just so that everyone would know that because they were on the other side of the river, they were still a part of those that were in the promise land. Though they were still over here, yet our hearts are knit together with those that are over here. We want our children to know. We want everyone not to forget that we still have a part. But when they confronted them, they still realized that there was still adultery going on. They still realized that there were problems in their midst. You know, well, we don't have a perfect church. Amen. We don't have perfect Christians. We still have Christians that got problems in their lives. And when they confronted them, they said, yes, we've not even got ourselves clear. We've not even got ourselves fully cleansed. We've not even got ourselves fully right in the sight of God concerning the matter of Peor, which we had had. Y'all looking at me, huh? Let me go back and give you just a little bit of history. Before they entered into the promised land, after the old generation that had refused to go in and take the land that God had possessed and take the land that God had given them, had died off 40 years, they were in dying off. The next generation was ready to go in. But they were led astray. They were taken for fools. They began to dilly-dabble and to fool around with those who were around them. And before long, some of them had went out and had began to worship Baal Peor. And it wasn't so bad that they had left the camp and they had went to the Moabites and had begun to worship Baal. Pretty soon they started dragging them right back into the camp and they started bringing them right back into the midst of God's people. And I tell you what, God don't like sin in his camp. Amen. God don't like the world from the outside on the inside. God tolerated it as long as they went over there. But pretty soon they started dragging it back, and when they drug it back, God took action, and there was a plague that went out among the people, and over 30,000 people died because of the great plague that went out, because of the sin that was in their hearts and in their lives. And I think it was Phinehas, Eleazar's son, grabbed the spear when he seen one of the children of Israel dragging back a Moabitish woman, and he took her into his tent. And Phinehas, he went in and acting in righteous, not self-righteous. I want you to understand this. Acting in righteous indignation, took the spear and he smote the pair of them to the ground, and he stayed of the curse that God had brought out because he was jealous for the Lord. Because he got angry for the Lord. And they said, now y'all are erecting this altar. And we don't even know that we're fully back in God's good graces because of all that happened over there. What is it that you all are intending on doing here? You see, there were still some strange gods in some hearts. There were still some strange gods in some lives. That there was still some that hadn't put away everything and wholly determined in their hearts and in their lives to serve the living God. And Joshua is dying. And the man of God says, I want you all to come here. I want you all to recount all that God has done. I want you to remember the victories that you've won, the victories that you've had, because God has been with you, because you have been his people, and because he's loved you. I want you to look around you at all the land that God has given you, land which you labor not for, vineyards that you didn't labor for, fields that you didn't labor for, cities that you didn't build, houses to dwell in, that you had no part in doing anything but going in and possessing it. God has been good. Hey, can I get a testimony? God's been good. Amen. Anyone here this morning that can, there's a song out, and my wife says we got to learn it. It's a little different, but we are going to learn it. Hey, amen. If I got to do it with a soundtrack, we're going to do it. Amen. Yeah, I don't know if you've heard it, but it says, if anybody out there knows he's faithful, anybody out there found he's able, just say amen. Amen. How about it this morning? Has anybody out there found that he's faithful? Has anybody out there found that he's able? Has anybody out there realized what God has done in their lives and the blessings that he's poured out upon you? I tell you what, we ought to shout the house down when we begin to think about the praises and the blessings of God and the goodness that he's bestowed upon us, the privilege it is to serve him. Amen. Joshua said, it's time. It's time for me to go. And I don't know when I'm going to go, but I'm going to tell you this. There's some things you need to get straightened out. There's some things you need to deal with. Church, today there's some things that we need to get straightened out. Amen. Every day we need to wake up and we need to get some things straightened out. Amen. Every day we wake up and we have the opportunity to make a choice. He said, choose you this day. Every day we have the privilege of choosing what we're going to do. We can choose to worship God. We can choose to follow him, or we can choose to go our own way and do our own thing and just put God far behind us. Every day we have that privilege. I've seen preachers that have preached faithful for years and get up one day and choose to follow something else,
yeah, that's right,
and forsake God. I've known Christians who lived the Christian life. They was the model of Christian. When you look up Christian in the dictionary, there could have been a picture of them right there, and you could have said amen and woke up one day and chose to do their own thing. Chose to go after something else. I want to preach to you this morning, as for me. As for me. And I want you to apply that to your heart and to your life. As for me, what are you going to do? As for me, where are you going to be? Look at what he says. Now therefore, fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. Now, we got to stop right there. As for me, I don't know about anybody else, but I'm going to fear the Lord. Amen. Amen. Now, we get the wrong impression. We get the wrong idea of that word fear sometimes. Let me tell you what. I fear God because I know what he can do to me. Amen. I fear God because I know that he can take my health. I fear God because I know that he can take my wealth. I fear God because I know that everything I have is in his hands, and he can blow on it and make it disappear. But there's another side to fearing God. There's another side of sharing what he wants you to see. That word fear doesn't mean in terror. It doesn't mean in abject fright. It means, it comes from a Hebrew word, Yahreh. And I kind of thought that was unique, and that it was right there with the word for God that says Yahweh. Amen. Reverent being. And Yahweh means to revere and to reverence. I tell you something. One day he took me up out of the miry clay, out of the horrible pit. One day he delivered me from the power and the presence of sin. And he gave me a new life. He gave me a change. And praise God, I can reverence him. I can fear him. I can love him because of what he done. Amen. I can love him for what he does for me every day, Brother Woody.
That's right.
He says, fear the Lord. Yes, right. Amen. Fear the Lord. Anybody here been saved this morning? You ought to say amen. Anybody here that God has been pouring his blessings out upon, you ought to be saying amen, amen. Anybody here that remembers a time that you were nothing and that you had nothing and that you could do nothing, but today you're a child of a king, an heir and a joint heir with the King of Glory, and you have everything. You're rich beyond the world's wildest dreams because you're a child of God. You ought to say amen. Amen. I tell you what. I tell you what. He says reverence him. Fear the Lord. I tell you what, we need just start to reminding ourselves daily just how blessed the people that we are that know Jesus as our Savior. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, amen, you ought to just rejoice in this one thing. You ought to rejoice in this fact that God loved you enough that he sent his son to die on an old rugged cross to give himself a ransom for your sins, and that he'll save you this morning if you ask him to. He'll save you this morning because he wants to. He'll save you this morning because you need to be saved. And if you don't have nothing else to shout about, nothing else to get excited about, you can praise God for that one fact. Amen. Amen. He's good. He's good. He says we need to reverence, fear the Lord, and serve him. And serve him in sincerity and in truth. You know what's missing in our service to the Lord? You know what's missing in the church today? You know what's missing among God's people? You know what was missing in Joshua's day? It was missing in David's day. It was missing in Paul's day. It's missing in the church today. It's sincerity in serving God. Amen. It's easy to give lip service to, but it's hard to give life service to. Amen. It's easy. It's easy to say we're going to. Amen. And we can wake up every day and have good intentions. And our good intentions can go right out the door. Amen. We can wake up every day determined in ourselves that we're going to. But the world has a way of just coming by and stealing those intentions away, stealing that time away, stealing that desire away. Oh, he can put us in some trifling situations that he just tries our nerves and tries our patience, and it brings us to the place. A few minutes ago, we was praising God. The next thing you know, you hear somebody speaking God's name in vain. Amen. You come from a place where your heart was lifted up, and now the situation has changed, and now you're down moping and whining and crying, Lord, what's the use? Lord, why me? Why is that? Because we're not serving him in sincerity. Hey, man, we come to church. Man, I wish he would hurry up. It's almost 12 o'clock. Dinners are burning. I'm hungry. I didn't eat breakfast. Where's the sincerity at in worshiping God? Hey, man, he deserves everything we are. He deserves everything that we can give him. He deserves our all. He says, forsake our fear of the Lord and serve him in sincerity. In sincerity. Let's get into this thing. Let's get real with this thing. Let's remember that you're the only thing that stands between somebody slipping into an eternity without Christ Jesus in their heart and in their life. That's what it's all about. That's what you're here for. Amen. You're not just here to sit on the pew and look pretty. Although a lot of you do. I got news for you. A lot of you ain't so pretty. But you're here too. Join the crowd. Amen. Problem is, a lot of us think we're pretty. And we might be pretty on the outside. But on the inside, things just ain't right. Things just ain't sincere. Things just aren't where they need to be. He said, we need to get sincere. We need to fear God. We need to reverence and revere him. And because of who he is, we need to serve him. And let my life be a testimony. Let my life be a witness. Let my life be so close to God, so sincere in what I do, that others might see me and desire to have what I have. If God didn't need you here, he wouldn't leave you here. Amen. God does miraculous things. But I read through the Bible and I can see God use the strangest things to fulfill his desires and his wills. And one of those peculiar things that he uses is his people. To be a light to a world that's walking in darkness. To be a light to a world that is slipping off by the untold hundreds of thousands into an eternity void of God. He says, reverence him and be sincere in your life. I'm not perfect, and you're not perfect, and you're never going to be perfect. But praise God, the world needs to see imperfect people. Sincere about serving a perfect God. And when they make insincere decisions and insincere actions, they're sincere enough about their relationship with God that they strive to get it right, and they'll let the world know. They don't try to hide it. See, that's the problem. We try to hide our mistakes from the world. We try to hide our shortcomings. Joshua says, look, he says you need to fear the Lord. Too many people have lost or fear the reverence of God. Everything has become so irreverent. It seems, but when God's people become irreverent. You know, we was talking in Sunday school this morning about some of the translations. No wonder people become so irreverent. They don't follow the truth. They don't want to follow the truth, but They'll follow after cunningly devised fables. Amen. And some of those are modern biblical translations. I stand on the King James Bible unabashedly because I know where it came from. I know, and you studied the lives of the men who translated the King James Bible, and you understand their credentials. You understand their ability to know what they were translating. I understand the manuscripts that they translated from were the original, unaltered manuscripts that weren't touched by man to make it say what man wanted it to say. I believe that it is in fact the truth and the hope that we need. And here's why I say this. Somebody had a post, I think it was Brother Harry Middleman, I'm not sure, but somebody had a post on Facebook last night that just really rung home on how the devil cunningly devises fables. He changes the Word of God in subtle little ways. You know, the devil, let me just say this to you. The devil's never going to come in and show you his ugliness. Show you and reveal himself for who he really is, because he knows you would automatically reject him. But the devil will sell himself to you as a minister of light. And he'll hand you a Bible that's flawed and let you try to build a solid foundation or solid building on a flawed foundation. The scripture in reference is talking about the Word of God, talking about the preaching of the Word of God. And in the King James, it says, to us who are saved, it is precious. It's over in 1 Corinthians, I think, chapters 1 and 2. You find that. It says, but unto us who are saved, it is precious. It's foolishness to the world. It's foolishness to everyone else. But the NIV, the New Living Translation, the New World Translations, and all the modern translations, it's just one place, have translated that passage of Scripture to us who are being saved. I don't know about you. I'm not being saved. I've been saved. Amen. I'm not waiting on salvation. My Bible said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Praise God. I'm glad I know that I know that I know that I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I'm saved. And I'm not worried about whether I'm going to be saved. I'm not worried about whether the process is going to be complete when I die. Praise God. My King James Bible tells me right now that I'm saved. And the message of God's eternal salvation is precious unto me. And praise God, I won't hear from it. The Apostle Paul said, I don't care about anything else. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Praise God. He said, I'm not ashamed of what others might say. He said, I'm not ashamed. He said, for I know in whom I have believed. Amen. I tell you what, I know in whom I have believed. Not who. Who's real varied. Whom gets right down specific. Amen. I know in whom I have believed. And am persuaded that he's able to keep that I've committed unto him against that day. Praise his name. Amen. I'm glad this morning that I know that I trusted Jesus as my Savior. I'm glad that I know that I know that I know that I can follow Him. I need to serve Him. I need to get sincere with Him because He has saved my soul. I'm glad that I know that the devil has all kinds of counterfeits in this world. But if I get sincere with Jesus, if I draw near to Him, He'll guide me. He'll direct me. He'll show me those things that I need to stay away from. He did His people. Told us to stay away from that bunch. Stay away from that bunch. Amen. Like Brother Barry Spears one time. He's talking about where he lived. You know, people around him, a bunch of heathens lived about him. His kids got out and they started playing with some of that bunch and started hanging with some of that bunch. And he told them, he said, you stay away from those Philistines. You stay away from that bunch. And you stay over here. That bunch is going to lead you into no good. I tell you what, we got to get sincere in our church. We need to get sincere in our home. Amen. We need to get sincere in our relationship with God. He says, now therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity. And listen to this, the hardest thing that every one of us here has to deal with, the hardest thing that we have to focus upon in our walk with God is this, and just put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt. Serve you the Lord. You know, you can read through the Bible, and one thing we find out, that no matter how close people walk with the Lord, there's always somebody that's carrying another god around with them. No matter how much we put our trust in God, people are always dragging some other gods along with them.
That's right.
Amen. Yeah. On his way to Padan Aram to meet his uncle Laban, Jacob lay down to go to sleep. And he met with the Lord that night. He seen the stairway to heaven open. He heard the voice of God as He spoke to him. He realized where he was a special place. And he said, if you're going to do all these things that you said you're going to do, he said, then I'm going to follow you. I'm going to follow you. He went down into Padan Aram. He dwelt there for 20 years before he left, after being tricked and tricked again and fooled by his uncle Laban. But when he left out with his wives and his children and all that God had blessed him with, because he followed God. And when he got out and Laban came and followed him, what was the thing that Laban laid an accusation to him about? He says, where are my gods? Where are my gods? And guess who had them? He went down there, he fell in love with Rachel. He wanted to marry Rachel. Laban said, what will you give me? He said, I'll work 7 years for Rachel. He worked 7 years, and that night, old Laban slipped Leah in on him. Amen. Got up in the morning and said, that ain't Rachel, that's Leah. What have you done to me? He said, well, I can't marry the youngest one off. I got to marry the oldest one first. He said, but I'll give you the other one. What do you give me for? He said, I'll work another 7 years. Amen. He loved Rachel. Rachel was the apple of his eye. He worked another 7 years for Rachel, and God just blessed him in what he done in his life there. And between the women that he married and the maids that he had a multitude of children, 12 children. God blessed him with. But when he left, one of them took the gods of her father. Church, let me tell you something. We need to start leaving some things behind. Amen. Amen. We need to let go of some things that are in this world. We need to let go of some of the things that still tug at our heartstring and still draw us away, because they'll draw us too far away from God. Joshua said, look, for 40 some years we have been traveling and we have come into the land of promise. Over 40 years God has been with us and God has been blessing us. Over 40 years God has been directing us. Don't you think it's about time we put away the gods that our fathers? All of us don't come from a godly heritage. All of us don't come from godly homes. All of us didn't grow up realizing and knowing the God that Joshua and the people there served. But friends, it's some time, it comes time that once we realize and once we come to know and once we come to experience the living God, that we put away some of the things. Put away some of the things that are hindering us. Some of the things that are causing us to keep stumbling. Why do we got to cut those worldly ties? I got a young man that I know. He got drug into drug use. Real bad drug use by his own mother. And he spiraled down till he got as low as he could get. Hardcore, wholehearted drug user. But like the old prodigal son, one day he came to himself. And he realized he didn't want to be that way anymore. He realized he wanted to get himself. He got himself cleaned up. He's been cleaned up. He's been walking right. He's been living right. He's been doing right. But you know who he wants to hang out with? He won't hang out with his own mother. Amen. He'll see her when he has to see her, maybe at a Christmas dinner or an Easter dinner. His own grandfather is angry at him because he won't hang out with his mom. He says, Pop, I can't go back to that. I'm not going back to that. I'm married now. I've got a family. I'm not going back to that nonsense. I'm not going back. I've cut that tie and I've let go of them old gods. Praise God, Brother Shaw and I when he got himself straightened out and he got his soul right with God, he realized that he had to cut some ties and he had to leave some things behind. And some of it was his family. Some of it was his friends. But he had to leave them old gods behind if he was going to go forward. Amen. I appreciate that young man's testimony. Amen. Sometimes we got to leave some things behind. Some things that ain't as bad as drugs. Some things is just as bad as shopping. Some things just as bad as guns. Some things just as bad as cars and tractors and guitars and all the stuff I love. Amen. But I tell you what, sometimes we just got to get them gods out of our lives. And we got to leave them behind because they'll hinder us. They'll be stumbling blocks to us along the way. And look at what he said. And serve the Lord. Quit worrying about them. Put them away and serve the Lord. Put them away and serve Jesus. Put them away and get sincere about one God. Get sincere. Get your heart anchored in one place. Get your heart anchored in one love. And he says, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day. We have a choice to make. We have a choice that is ours and ours alone. And like I told you, every day, we have a choice to make. But Joshua said, it's time to quit fooling around. It's time to quit playing around. You followed, and we have taken you. And you have watched your relatives. You've watched your moms and your dads, some of you. You've watched grandmom and grandpop, some of you. You've watched your aunts and uncles as they fell in the wilderness because they refused to follow God. You've watched and you've seen what God has done. You've watched and you've seen that God has brought you into the land of promise. You've watched and you've seen as God has given you conquest after conquest. You've watched and you've seen as God has destroyed a great great cities such as Jericho, where they said several chariots could ride around the walls of Jericho side by side together, and God brought those walls down. You've watched as God gave the giant's land unto his people because he had promised where the soles of their feet had stepped, and you had watched, and you walked, and you traveled, and you've been there, and you've seen all that God has done, and yet you don't want to get serious, yet you haven't got sincere, yet you're still dragging some things behind that need to be left on the other side. You need to choose this day. You need to choose this day. Today is the now is the time of salvation. Today is the accepted day. Amen. You need to choose. You need to choose who you're going to serve. Noah said, look, the floods are coming. You can believe God, or you can believe all the naysayers. Amen. But you're going to make a choice. Why don't you choose? Amen. Why don't you choose? God sent his people, and he sent his men. He sent the teachers and the prophets and his leaders and all those before you to preach and to tell you it's time to make a choice. When Moses came down off of Mount Sinai and seen the people dancing around the golden calf, he said it's time to make a choice. Who's on the Lord's side? Come on over here. It's time to choose. How we see Elijah over in 1 Kings as he stood on Mount Carmel. He said, how long will you halt between two opinions? Choose you this day. Make a choice today. Are you going to serve God? Are you going to serve Baal? Are you going to lift God up? Are you going to lift Baal up? Make a choice in the time that men have cried, in the time that men have preached, in the time that men have poured their heart out. The message has always been the same. Choose ye this day whom ye will serve. Joshua implores us to choose. He implores us to be sincere. He implores us not to let another day pass, but to choose this day what we're going to do. I don't care how many times you've been to the altar. I don't care how many times you've made decisions. Have you made a choice to sincerely follow Jesus? Have you made a choice to sincerely worship him? Oh, he said, choose you this day. You've dilly-dallied around. And you tried to have one foot in the church and one foot in the world. Joshua said, it's time to choose. The children of Israel tried to have one foot in the promised land, but a one foot in the heathen land. And Joshua said, it's time to choose. Amen. Preachers and deacons, it's time to choose. Teachers and leaders, it's time to choose. Laity, pew setters, whatever you want to call yourselves, it's time to choose. Because the need is great. The consequences are dire. And there's no in between. Jesus said you can't serve two masters. Can't have two gods. It just don't work that way. Amen. Either you're going to choose me, or you're going to choose the world. We can put it to you like this way. You're going to choose me, or you're going to choose Ben Franklin. You're going to choose me, or you're going to choose Barack Obama. Amen. You're going to choose me, or are you going to choose the military and the Joint Chiefs of Staff? You're going to choose me, or are you going to choose the pleasures that have your affections and have you turned away from serving me in sincerity? He says, if it seem evil unto you, if you can't get into this thing, if you can't serve God wholeheartedly and reverence and revere Him and get sincere about serving Him and giving Him exclusivity in your life, He said, that's all right. You can make a choice and do what you want to do. He said, but as for me, I've heard my wife tell multitude of her friends and family, I don't care what you choose to do. I don't care what you're going to do. I'm going to serve the Lord. I'll tell you what. I'll pick on my own family. My son moved out, went and shacked up with a girl. They snuck out. It's like the Baltimore Colts. They waited till we was going. And they come in and they slipped all the stuff out. They went and they moved into an apartment together. Broke her heart. She cried so much she had to go to the doctor. Listen to me. I said, ain't you going to come see our house? No. You know you're living in sin. We're not coming there. Mom, I got to have some surgery. Can you take me to the surgery? I got to have the surgery done. Yeah, I'll take you to the surgery. Brought him home. Helped him to the door. Said, this is as far as I go. This is as far. You say, that's not right. Folks, we got to start making some hard choices. And we can dilly-dally around. And we can try to justify it. I said, oh, well, that's not being a loving parent. That's not being a loving mother. You can justify it however you want to. But as for me and my house, we don't serve our children. I serve the Lord. Amen. As for me and my house, my kids got to make their own choices. My kids are going to make their own decisions. What's missing in our churches, what's missing in our Christian homes, is Christians who aren't afraid to stand up and say, as for me and my house. My sisters would come to my house, and they didn't like coming to my house because they couldn't drink. They didn't like coming to my house because I wouldn't allow it. And they didn't like coming to my house because when they would try to sneak it in, I would throw it right back out. So I don't have that here. Well, it's just this, and it's just, I don't care. If you can't come without it, don't come. Amen? As for me and my house, it's not easy. But it's right. It's not easy, but God honors it. Amen. It's not easy, but it makes a statement and it makes a testimony. And I didn't tell you that just to vindicate us and just to lift us up. I'm just telling you, these are some hard decisions that we've made. As for me in my house, choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, I sat in a meeting where I had to listen to a fellow that was directly under the vice president all morning, and he couldn't go 3.5 seconds. I timed him. He could not go 3.5 seconds without taking God's name in vain. I didn't hear a thing he said because every time he said GD, I just cringed. And I began to time him. Couldn't go 3.5 seconds in a sentence without saying GD. I told him, I don't have to listen to that. If I was black, I wouldn't have to listen to racial slurs. If I was a Muslim, I wouldn't have to listen to you belittle Muhammad. If I was a woman, I wouldn't have to listen to being referred to in a derogatory term. But I'm a Christian. I don't have to listen to that. As for me and my house, it wasn't popular. And the guys that had to tell him were scared to tell him. One was his little minion that he carried around with him as he went from job to job, from company to company. He said, man, I seen a fella cut his fingers off one time. And they hauled him and threw him in a truck and hauled him to the hospital. And a guy found one of the fingers that they missed and said, you want me to run this to the hospital with him? He says, no. He said, he won't need that. He just threw it over in the weeds. Went on. And he said, I don't know how he's going to take that. I said, you know what? I really don't care how he takes that. I'm not setting another day. I'm not setting the rest of this day and listening to it. A man in his position, a man in his place, I wouldn't be. I don't have to listen. As for me in my house. As for me in my house. We will serve the Lord. I didn't tell you these things because I'm some kind of a super Christian. I'm not. But we can make some choices. And church, I believe the day is short. I don't know. No man knows the time nor the hour, but if the trumpet was to sound right now, it wouldn't surprise me one bit. Choose you this day. You chose your money. You chose your name. You chose fame. You chose fortune. You chose a good time. That's fine, if that's what you want to choose. But as for me, as for my house, I never allowed my brothers and sisters to come and bring their boyfriends or girlfriends and stay at my house. I never allowed anybody to do that. As for me and my house, I've never went down to the bars and the VFWs and the American Legion halls and stuff where folks wanted to have parties because I believe I need to keep myself from all appearances. So that don't mean I don't eat in a restaurant where they serve alcohol, but I'm not going to a bar. As for me and my house. Amen. Folks, it's time. We got to make some choices. It's time to make some hard choices. Your children are in the balance. Your friends are in the balance. Your country is in the balance. You say, but I can't make a difference. You don't know what a difference you can make if you make the right choice. Brother Jim, Sister Mary, let's get a song of invitation.